is this how I actually feel, or is this my emotional history trying to recreate my past? I'm going to butcher the name. Young Pueblo? I stole this off the Instagram of a past guest, Michelle Hintzberger. And so I thought it would be worth opening the show with that. This is the Mind and Fitness Podcast. I am your host, Eddie Lindenstein, and today is Wednesday, October the 6th. Not October the 6th, November the 6th. Thank you so much for joining me. As always, this podcast is certainly brought to you by the patrons of the show. So patreon.com/the Mind and Fitness Podcast. Patreon is a place for creators. So if you have a YouTube show that you really like or a podcast that you listen to every Wednesday on Audio Boom, or if you, there's a whole variety. It could be internet musician, could be a lot of different things. But basically, this stuff isn't free for us, the creators, to be able to put on. Nicole Sachs has one. I have one. I'm not sure if Caitlin Michael still has one, but basically you're throwing a few dollars in the tip jar every single month. That's essentially what this is, helping to keep the lights on. There's costs associated with this. This podcast has been going on for about 2 years. That's a few hundred dollars in publishing fees. All the time and energy that's been invested in the podcast, close to 100 original episodes that you can always go back and listen to in the archives. But the cost of the equipment, I've got a H4N Pro Zoom recorder, maybe $300 on that, the microphones, the SD cards, all that kind of stuff. So this is the group of people, there's a little over a dozen, that have chosen to make a monthly contribution to the show. There's levels of all different kinds. Again, go to the patreon.com/the Mind and Fitness Podcast. Recently, a new one joined a week or two ago, Sean. So shout out to Sean. Thank you so much for your generosity. And then Christina, Holly, Ross, Caroline, Julie, Casey, Alyssa, Brian, Sarah, Adrian, Stan, Kristen, Sarah, Helen, Arnie, Barb, and Kim. So thank you all so much for your contribution to the podcast. And I thought that maybe I would start off the show, aside from the shout out, to talk about, so it's interesting. Today's show is all about victimhood and victimization and being a victim and playing the role of the victim and its importance and its role when it comes to chronic pain. But I actually wanted to start because I jumped into victim mode for a minute or two when I first read this, which is interesting. That's just the way that reptilian brain responds. And if you think about it, you have the animal or the prey that's walking around in the wild and suddenly gets attacked, that amygdala fires. Cortisol levels change, adrenaline levels change, pupils dilate, blood flow changes, digestion changes, tension throughout the body starts to happen, nerves are firing at all sorts of different frequencies, things like that, because there's a threat, because that animal is a victim, and that's no different than how humans respond to physical threats as well as emotional and mental threats. And so let me preface this by saying the podcast has 119 reviews on iTunes, and I think 116 or 117 of those are 5 out of 5 stars. Somebody left a 3-star review at some point last year, and it actually, based on the comments, it seemed like maybe it was a mistake. And then I got this one last week, so it's a 2 out of 5. It says it's insensitive to the listener experience. Ouch. The opening music is so off-putting that I can't believe that his listeners... this interviewer has any sensitivity to the listeners. Style does matter. Perhaps it is time to rethink how this show presents itself. Let me start off by saying it's interesting because there's a couple of musicians that listen to this show that I speak to, and I've had offers to have the theme song redone, and I've even thought about doing that, and I was thinking about that pretty heavily up until I read that review. I don't think I'm going to do it anymore. So let me give you some backstory on the podcast theme song. So back in 2006, I was living in Northern California, and I had a YouTube show that I wanted to start doing, and the premise of it was there was a lot of independent musicians that were in this little town, Chico, California. There's a university there, and that's also where a large portion of that campfire in Northern California happened last year that devastated so many homes and businesses and property and people's lives upended and all of that. So Chico is where I was born, and there was a lot of like independent musicians there. And my thought was that I want to do this cool YouTube show that kind of has this sort of TRL, Throwback Thursday, TRL vibe to it, and a person who's interviewing artists in the local area. And so the first person that I interviewed was named Dirty Menace, and that was his, he did some rapping, but mostly it was composing of music. And I asked him, hey, are you willing to make a theme song for me? Which he did. So he made that beat for me. So he did this back in 2006, and I used it for the show. And then I just thought, how cool would it be? Almost like paying homage to my first real jump into broadcasting of any kind to have this theme song as a part of it. First of all, it's amazing that I still found the MP3 that the file is sourced on, but I thought it was kind of cool to have it in here. And by the way, I get far more, I think that was actually the only, no, I got a second one. Somebody, a couple people who said negative things about the theme song. I really like it, and I feel like so much of the world of chronic pain and TMS is loathing, almost like a pig that's sort of commiserating in your own shit, as animals do in the farm sometimes. And I feel like that's so much what this life is about. If you're listening to this and you have been in pain in the past, or you're in pain currently, you've likely spent a lot of time sitting around wallowing in your own self-misery. And so me, I didn't want it being this very slow, monosyllabic theme that is either sad or it's without energy and all that. So what am I trying to do? I'm trying to promote this new awareness. I'm trying to promote this new strength. I'm trying to promote a whole variety of things on the show. And so what's more empowering than having some music that goes alongside with the theme? So that's really what the theme song is all about. And I won't be changing it anytime soon, but there's a chance I could be changing it in the future. So maybe sometime in 2020, maybe 2021. We'll see when that possibly could be. But if you compose music at all and you would be interested in doing a free, operative word, but I would give you a shout out, free design of maybe an idea that you have in terms of a new theme song down the road, by all means, I am up to listen to it. So shoot me a DM. Today, all about the victimhood that is TMS. And I bring this up because there's so many people that I observe on a very regular basis, people that either I talk to through the work of this show, people whose stories I read online or on Facebook or on the TMS wiki, and even myself, and myself to a very large degree, and I'll get into that in a couple of minutes, of sort of this thought of life is happening to me. I'm a victim of my circumstance. So I did this post not long ago, this thing that I wrote that I was thinking about, and it's either life sort of exists in two different camps for a lot of us, and I think that there's a huge contrast in how people generally feel physically, emotionally, mentally, if they absorb and take in the world as a sense of life is happening to me and all these things are happening to me versus this is just happening. And then it starts to get in a little bit more of this Eckhart Tolle thought and time frame that I think about, but also Hannah Studley, who was on this podcast a couple of weeks ago, her whole talk about the three principles and how essentially everything that we compose in our life is really about thought and our interpretation. Prince A, and it's P-R-I-N-C-E, Prince A, which is not the letter A, but spelled E-A. You can find him on YouTube. You can find him on Facebook. But he is a musician. He's also a poet. And he had this great quote in the movie All the Rage where he said, life is really all about your interpretation. Instead of running around trying to change everybody else and change the different circumstances around us, we can really change ourselves. And it kind of brings us to this place of emptiness. And that's in a lot of ways what I see is overwhelmingly a large portion of the character trait that exists in people with chronic pain. And let's dive into that a little bit. So you think about what Sarno and Ozanich and Nicole Sachs and kind of all the greats in the field talk about, and that's the people-pleasing tendencies, perfectionist tendencies, all these different things. And then you get into the victimhood. So here's where I'm going to make the jump and make the leap. If I am a perfectionist, say that I want my lawn to look a certain way, and I want my grass outside to look a certain way. I mow it, I manicure it, I put all the chemicals that I need to make it look as green as possible, which I do. Let's say that I do all of those things, and then the dog across the street walks over and takes a shit in my yard. That just happened to me. That dog came over and attacked my yard, and my yard is mine, and he's basically attacking me. And this is the way that a lot of people live their lives in a whole variety of ways. Say that somebody rear-ends them at 10 miles an hour. Suddenly they got into a car accident or somebody ran into them. And so they continue to kind of have this rhetoric over time of all these things that continue to happen to them. And I know that for me in my life, one of the things that I really had to do to get over the hump and to start getting my life back and all the things that I wanted to do in my life and not be a slave and a victim to allergies and asthma and back pain and neck pain and knee pain and elbow pain and shoulder problems and all this stuff was to be able to really tap out and submit and forfeit and say, yeah, those things just happened. They didn't necessarily happen to me. In fact, it's not even a necessarily. They just flat out did not happen to me. I would say that there's obviously exceptions to this rule. There is sexual assault. There are random acts of violence, which my wife is a sociology major and obsessed with true crime. And she talks about quite frequently, maybe I should be worried, quite frequently that there is very rarely a random act of violence. Random acts of homicide, things like that. But yeah, random acts of violence, random assaults, things like that. Very, very, very rarely happen in a vacuum. And a lot of times it happens with the people that you know or people that you're acquaintance with or people that you're even really close to. And we hear all about those kind of things and assaults and sexual assaults and things like that. So these are all of the exceptions to the rule, of victimhood. But I would say that if we know 10 people, the amount of people in there that have been violently assaulted is probably fairly small. And ultimately, a lot of the things that happen in our daily lives, like for instance, say that the holidays are coming up. This is a perfect example. I thought that my motorcycle was turning on in the garage, but no, it's the washer upstairs. Just making a lot of loud noise. But anyway, as you're hanging out with your family over the next, call it 8 weeks for the holidays, regardless of what you celebrate or don't celebrate, I want you to walk up to a circle of people that is in your family or at the table or just the hellos, and I want you to count in your head how long does it take for somebody to start bringing up an injury or an illness or things that happen to them and the way to which they talk about those things. How long does it actually happen? And remember to pay very close attention to when they're telling these stories, whether they're serious or not serious or perceived as serious or whatever we interpret as serious. And step back and think, are these things happening to them or are they things that are just happening? You walk down, you're walking in the mall and you look up at somebody, you make eye contact with them and you smile and they do nothing back. Oh, that person attacked me. They didn't say hello. I was actually thinking about this exact thing when I was on a walk today, and there's this really beautiful park called Yost Park that's not far from my house. And sometimes on my lunch break, instead of sitting around or sitting in the hot tub or going into a workout or going on a run or something like that, I'll just take a walk for an hour. And almost the perfect walk is going about 2.5 miles all the way down my street and then into Yost Park, walking through the woods, all that kind of thing. And very frequently I will encounter, 5 or 6 people that are walking opposite of me, and a lot of times they're females. And I have really started thinking lately, maybe it's after watching Unbelievable on Netflix, which you should check it out. It's a terrible documentary and actually takes place about 3 miles from my house, which is kind of wild, but that these people are thinking that they're going to get attacked. And I've really started to pick up on that lately. Do they find this situation intimidating, all that kind of stuff? But some people that are in those kind of walks and they smile at somebody that's walking towards them, or they wave, or whatever the case is, and that person looks down at them, or just looks down, or doesn't make eye contact, or whatever. Someone in my position, the person that's walking, may think, "Oh, that person doesn't like me," or that person, they're victimizing themselves. And we hear about this all the time. There are a large number of people in my life that I observe on a very regular basis, and I'm not going to name names or even give you any hint of identifiers, but it's just really a series of events that seem to happen that they will say is happening to them. And I did this for a long time. All this stuff was happening to me. These things at work, this person that was being a jerk, this customer that didn't buy from me, all these things are happening to me as opposed to just things that are happening. And so when you get into the frame of mind of things that are just happening as opposed to happening to you, you really can kind of step back and distance yourself from these thoughts. And thoughts are really what kind of dominate us and really contribute to the emotional and mental makeup that we walk around with every single day. And it kind of sucks because that's the stuff that really just sort of consumes you. So I brought this up on my Facebook group, which if you're not a member of the group, it is the Mind and Fitness Podcast Deleters of Pain is what they're called. And I would imagine if you just go to Facebook and you type in Deleters of Pain, that you're going to come up on them. But I said podcast this week is about being a victim. Does anybody want to add in 2 cents? I'll probably record this in the next 3 hours. So it got quite a few comments and I thought maybe I'd share some of these. So this comes from Selena. Yep, feeling like stuff is happening to us is a key trigger for sure. Journal speaking, the angry self-pity seems to help. Absolutely agree. Because I think that's such a huge hurdle and a big component of all of this is being able to step back and say, yes, I feel like the world is happening to me. And it's a trigger because maybe earlier on in life, maybe when you were a kid, people are yelling at you, people are coming at you, all that kind of stuff. You don't have to live in that world in existence now. It's about what is going on right now in your life that is keeping you stuck in that frame of mind. And again, the exact reason behind it is not necessarily all that important. It has a lot to do with how you're really framing things and how you're seeing that outside world. Are you seeing it through this lens of victimization, or are you seeing it through a lens of reality? Because 99.9% of the time, it's you're not seeing it through a lens of reality. And again, myself included with the iTunes review earlier. This other person, for what it's worth, I found the best way to get out of this mindset was to immediately unfollow any social media account. Oh, this is good. Excuse me. The best way to get out of this mindset was to immediately unfollow any social media accounts that seem to wallow in diagnosis. For me, these include an endometriosis, intestinal cystitis, anything with hashtags like Spoonie, anyone who is making a living off of being in the headspace of their illness. I did it without judgment of these people, but knowing that seeing that on a daily basis wasn't going to help me heal. To each their own, but I don't want to have a diagnosis as my identity anymore. That last sentence is so critical. To each their own, but I don't want to have a diagnosis as my identity anymore. There's so many times that I identified with whatever issue it was that I was diagnosed with. I'm the shoulder guy. I'm the thoracic outlet syndrome guy. I'm the IBS guy. I'm the guy with all these different things. I'm the guy who can't have any dairy. I'm the lactose intolerant guy. That just becomes your thing. And you become the person that's always injured. You become the person that is in your CrossFit class and scaling all the workouts with all these different modifications because you're always injured. And that becomes part of you. Even recently at my gym, there was an order that was placed by one of the members that had, it was like crutches and a cast and all this kind of stuff. And they're calling themselves the Mod Squad, meaning modified movements for the things that are actually happening in the workout. And I just kept sitting there and just like shaking my head and just thinking, but it doesn't need to be that way. You're now identifying with this. It is who you are. And for so long, I became the chronic pain guy. And I was just always going to a doctor appointment. That was just me. And I know that if you're listening to this and this is you, I feel for you. And you probably know somebody that's like this, the person that's on pain meds all the time, the person that's going to a doctor for a variety of things. These people exist all over our world. And the problem with social contagion is that we start to absorb those things and make them our own story as well. This comes from Michelle, who I stole that quote from earlier. Thank you, Michelle. It's a way our unconscious brain and ego self keeps us safe. By staying in our familiar and therefore safe boxes of being the victim and blaming the world for our woes, it assures the ego that it won't be challenged. And at the same time, it's as easy enough for us to all say, but taking responsibility means you can change it, which is great news, but also adds extra pressure on someone whose nervous system is already a nightmare. So complex. So I thought I commented on, oh, I did comment on that. Okay. So my response was, I think the really subtle thing to remember is when it comes to this stuff, recognizing and taking responsibility does not in any way mean anything must be fixed. As fixers, we go there automatically, but we don't have to. So if you sort of step back for a second and you say that I'm not a victim of my circumstance, and the world isn't happening to me, and life isn't happening to me. Life is just happening, and things are just happening, and that's all that they are. It sort of implies that if something does happen to me, or I perceive something to happen to me, that I must then fix it. But remember, you don't need to fix these things. Sarna would always talk about how you don't need to divorce and walk away from your kids and quit your job and leave your town and screw your neighbors and all that kind of stuff. You don't need to fix anything or do anything. You need to have the awareness around something. So if you can have the awareness to say, life is happening and I don't need to be a victim anymore. Again, it's the part of your ego that has kept you safe for so long, because if you're always the victim and you're always playing from underneath, anytime that you triumph, it's extra good because you triumph despite being the victim of your world. But you don't need to live that way. And it's keeping you safe right now, emotionally safe in a way, but it's also giving you physical pain, or it's giving you anxiety, or it's giving you leg pain, shoulder pain, back pain, neck pain, migraines, whatever, because you're the victim. Again, people that I see on social media all the time who do this hashtag Spoonie, or they're a chronic illness warrior, and that's their bio on their headline. It's keeping them safe to live into that, because if you remove that, then what are they? They lose their social media followers, or people don't think of them as the person who's always fighting despite all the pain that they're in. If you can take that label off, then what happens to you? That safety net goes away, and now you're just out there. Pretty interesting concept. I really like how Dr. Hanscom places such an emphasis on this topic in his book and during your interview with him. I interviewed Dr. Hanscom in July of 2018, so that is available in the archives. I think it's probably right around episode 20 or 25 or so, if you want to go back and listen to him talk about this stuff. One really important book for me was the book by Dr. David Clark. He says that trauma victims are heroes, and that helped a great deal stepping out of the victim's shoes to acknowledge the heroine in me. I'm going to say that that is certainly correct. And again, I said there are exceptions to the rule earlier. Trauma victims, very, very different circumstance than the 99.9% of the people in our life that walk around all the time, including yourself probably, thinking that all of the circumstances that are happening to you right now are things that are happening to you, not just happening. So again, I have the highest level of sensitivity to people that have overcome various traumas in their life, whether it be recent or 30 years ago or more. But ultimately, all these other situations that are happening in your life, from the mailman not saying hi to you, to your boss being mean to you, to some customer not buying your product, or whatever the case may be, is that happening to you, or is that just happening? This was my favorite comment. It came from Tara, and it was basically the whole essence of this show. But I'm going to go ahead and read it and just say, Terry, you stole my thunder. So coming to the realization that I ever had or am the victim feels awful. I never want to play that role. It feels wrong. Yet looking back in my life a year ago, I was 110% walking around in victim mode, thinking that everything was happening to me. I had no idea what life doesn't happen to you. It just happens. And then you choose how to react really meant. I can't wait to listen. That is absolutely what this entire episode is talking about. The last 22 minutes is all of that. Having the realization of being a victim and then admitting to yourself that you are the victim, it's so hard to do. Perhaps the hardest of pills to swallow, but it's a necessity and it's something that's going to save your life. Guaranteed. And the last one from Selene, my insight was that while I felt victimized by my pain, why won't you leave me alone? It was tied to my psyche. I'm putting up with it because I can't do any better. If you're accustomed to putting up with things that are not enhancing your life, you will put up with the pain. Absolutely true, but it doesn't have to be that way anyway, anymore. Disassociate yourself from it. It's the identity of who it is that you are. And probably if you're in chronic pain, you've had this thing for so long, whether it's 6 months or a year or 10 years, you've had this thing for so long that you can't really imagine a life without it. Things keep happening to you. This illness keeps happening to you. Your IBS keeps happening to you. Or it's just something that's happening. And we don't have to judge it. And it's just there. Because the longer that the less and less to which you do this whole this is happening to me versus this is just happening, like the more that you can take that kind of a mindset. God, I fucking hate the word mindset, and I just used it again. I'll explain on a future episode why I hate that word so much. But the more that you can get into that frame of mind that life is just happening and not happening to me, then it's showing this real indifference, and your danger alarms will subside and turn off and chill the fuck out. And that's the place that you need to be. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. I'll be back next week with a new interview, but 24 minutes on a solo show is pretty damn good. So thank you so much for your time. Head on over to iTunes, leave a review, maybe talk about how great the theme song is while you're at it. Find me on Instagram, find me on Facebook, DM me, email me, whatever it is that you'd like. Go to Patreon. Thanks so much for the support, everybody. Take care.